like to thank Dr. Haig for that introduction. As you said, my name is Dustin Wilkerson. I'm a plant breeding master's student at Texas A&M University, and I'm here to talk to you a little bit about phenotyping drought tolerance. So this is the U.S. moisture status from 2011. As I'm sure most of you remember, there's a very significant drought in parts of the Cotton Belt. And as you can see, the entire state of Texas is completely covered in drought, and estimated $3.5 billion in economic losses attributed to this drought, which is why it is even growing ever more important to develop more efficient methods of phenotyping drought tolerance. To help with that, the objective of my study was to determine critical growth stages for the most effective use of high throughput phenotyping for drought tolerance. To do this, my experimental design included 15 entries, 11 of which are converted land race stocks, with two experimental elite lines and two cultivars, Tamcot 73 and Delta Plant 491. I had four locations in 2015, including two in College Station, one irrigated, another dry land, one in Corpus Christi, Texas, and another in Thrall. There were two row plots with four replications at each location. So the high throughput phenotyping sensors that I used, the first was a Trimble handheld green seeker, which provided NDVI readouts on all the entries. I also used an Apogee infrared radiometer to provide leaf temperature readouts. Both of these sensors I used in morning and afternoon. The next, I use Decadon Devices Steady State Diffusion Pyrometer, otherwise known as a leaf pyrometer. This provided readouts of stomatal conductance for each of the entries. And lastly, I use an Apogee chlorophyll content meter to give estimates of chlorophyll content in each location. So the next stage of my presentation, I'm about to show you several tables. And just in favor of time, I'll just point out very specific things on each table that you would like to attract your attention to. This first table is lint, lint percent, and fiber quality traits separated out by location. As you can see, the two College Station locations and Corpus Christi all tested significantly similar to each other, yet different from Thrall. This I attribute to the record-breaking rainfalls that we received over the growing season. The irrigated and dryland locations didn't show enough separation between the two. This next table is lint, lint percent, and fiber quality traits by genotype, averaged across all four locations. The top four yielding varieties that I had were Tamcot 73, 10X64, Delta Pine 491, and 10X78, which were the two released cultivars and the two experimental elite lines. Three out of four of which tested significantly different than the converted race stocks that I had in this population. This is the first year of my project, and as you can see, the yields on these race stocks are not very high compared to the others. We wanted to use this population to see if we can identify drought tolerant traits within this population so that we could hopefully bring in to higher yielding varieties later on in subsequent years of this project. So using the high throughput phenotyping data that I took throughout the summer, we constructed correlations between those four sensors and yield, lint yield, and the fiber quality traits, length, strength, and micronair, separated out by each day. Going into each location, the first was College Station irrigated. The two most frequent correlations that I see, as you can see that fifth column, shows frequency of significant correlations. This is the number of correlations that tested significant over the total number of correlations that I took throughout the season. The top one, NDVI and lint yield, shows a positive correlation throughout the entire growing season, while temperature shows a negative correlation also throughout the entire growing season. The next location, College Station dryland, again showed a positive correlation between lint yield and NDVI, 8 through 8 correlations that I took throughout the summer. NDVI, and interesting enough, NDVI showed a negative correlation with micronair, 7 out of 8 correlations that I took throughout the growing season. And again, a negative correlation with temperature and lint yield, all three were throughout the entire growing season. At Corpus Christi, we can see, again, that NDVI was highly correlated with lint yield, just focused in flowering at this location. And NDVI was also associated with length throughout the entire growing season. Again, on this one, I'd like to show you that 1 out of 5 showed a negative correlation with micronair and NDVI, just focused after flowering. And in Thrall, another dryland location, NDVI showed that negative correlation with micronair again, 4 out of 6 just focused in flowering. And NDVI and lint yield showed a positive correlation throughout the entire growing season. So redistributing these correlations, we can see that, just focused on NDVI, 27 out of 31 correlations with lint yield showed a highly positive correlation throughout the entire growing season at all four locations. The next frequent, 12 out of 31, showed a negative correlation with micro nair throughout the entire growing season, and I would like to show you that it is only at my dry land locations. This correlation did not show in the College Station irrigated field. Focused after flower, we have 4 out of 31 correlations with lint percent and 3 out of 31 correlations with length throughout the entire growing season. Next, the temperature gauge. 15 out of 30 correlations showed a negative association with lint yield throughout the entire growing season at three locations. A negative correlation with length, a negative correlation with strength, and another negative correlation with lint percent focused just in flowering. And there was one positive correlation with micro nair during flowering at my irrigated field. So the chlorophyll content meter and the stomatal conductance did not have as many correlations as the other two. With chlorophyll content, I just had 2 out of 10 correlations with lint yield focused just after flowering, and 1 out of 10 correlations with micro nair also after flowering. And with stomatal conductance, at 3 out of 14 correlations with lint yield positive association, and 1 out of 14 showed a negative correlation with micro nair, both were focused during flowering. So to sum up, if we want to use this data to predict yield in these high throughput phenotyping sensors, to predict yield, we should focus NDVI and temperature throughout the entire growing season, focus stomatal conductance just during flowering, and use the chlorophyll content meter after flowering. If we're predicting fiber traits, we can, again, use NDVI throughout the entire growing season, use temperature and the stomatal conductance during flowering, and use the chlorophyll content meter after flowering. So I would like to thank my committee members, Dr. Steve Haig, Dr. Jane Deaver, and Dr. Alex Thomason, my folks at the Cotton Improvement Lab, including Dr. Smith, Don Dino, Richard Herms, my fellow graduate students, and the undergraduate students who helped me with this project, and also Cotton Incorporated and Dr. Jones for funding this project. Are there any questions? Yes.
Since you had such a big difference between the leading pulse bars and the UPB lines, did you run the correlations amongst those two groups to see if they were the same, or correlations across all the lines together?
Well, I actually ran the correlations across all those lines together, but I ran the Spearman's rank test, which, in my opinion, kind of canceled out that wide gap between the two. Does that answer your question? Yes, Dr. Smith.
Why do you recommend NDVI taken throughout the season and correlation throughout the season? Why not recommend one shot, one time, so you get the same result?
Well, the NDVI sensor was by far the most, I'd call it the most high throughput of the ones that I used. It provided the readings more quickly than the others, especially the stomatal conductance, the leaf ferrometer. So NDVI, as you can see, it gave both positive correlations with yield and fiber quality. So it's a very quick method of getting the answers that you'd like to get. So that's why I would recommend it throughout the entire growing season, as opposed to focusing it or doing away with it altogether.
When you say throughout the season, you're going to use it any time during the season, or use it multiple times?
Well, when I used the word throughout, that means it showed that at every stage, every day that I took data, there showed positive correlations between. I didn't have time to show all of that data on here, but there were peaks specifically in flowering for NDVI, both points. So I would, did that answer your question?
So I couldn't take one reading two out of one field.
Yes, technically, yes. If you want to focus it just on flowering, you can get answers to both. Okay, oh, yes.
Well, one last
question then, given that you can use that throughout the season, you could do that at a two-leaf stage and screen your germplasm and then just go back to the lab and start doing the process, no need to grow it out to yield or anything.
After hearing that question, I should have worded that a little better on the slides. So I started taking, the earliest I took data was about 60 days after planting, so a week or two before flowering actually started, so further on in the growing season than just the two-leaf stage. So NDVI, it compares, it focuses on leaf matter. Some people use it as a biomass. So it wouldn't, I misspoke when I put that on the slide. So I'll fix that.
Thank you.